Welcome back. I am so excited to bring back Rory Vaden. So this was a really unique situation. I actually reached out to Rory's team and I was actually thinking I was going to be hiring him to help me with some branding and some coaching. And then I got a little creative and I said, hey, what if we got some coaching on the new title of my book, but we publicly share it? So it'll become a behind the scenes of a podcast, or of I should say behind the scenes of a coaching call that we air as a podcast. So I have a high level powerhouse plus group that is all online digital businesses, and Rory works specifically with personal brands. So I thought it'd be great for them to come in and listen. So they got to watch and sit and listen live and ask some questions. And then I was very in a vulnerable position because he could have said to me, I hate your ideas. They're garbage. You'll find out what he did say, what he liked, what he didn't. I wanted you to see that I do seek out help, whether I'm asking my friends in my mastermind, whether I'm seeking out coaches, just specialists. Like Rory is a specialist. And I also wanted you to see how coachable I was going to be. Would I get defensive? Would I agree? What are his thoughts? All the things. So I'm excited for you to listen. This is a much longer episode than normal because we talked for about an hour or so, and he's basically helping me pick the title of my new book, talking about rebranding the podcast, Facebook group, challenge, like you name it. He has some really good things. So even if you're thinking, I'm not writing a book, I don't need this, there was some really good branding takeaways. I actually believe he's talking about naming anything that you're selling, right? So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Rory was on the podcast before. So if you love it and love Rory and you want to check out the other one too, go to my website, stacytosha.com. You can search Rory Vaden in the little search box and you'll see both episodes pop up. So hopefully, I think you're going to enjoy this one. This was a really, really fun one for me. Business doesn't have to be as hard as you're making it. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Well-Oiled Operations. With over 2 million downloads, it's the go-to podcast dedicated to helping you increase your profit margins while getting your time back. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Whether you're a brick and mortar or an online business owner, it doesn't matter. I've got both, and I'll show you my framework to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. It's time to get your business less reliant on you. Hi, Rory. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah. Hello, hello. It's good to be with you, Stacy.
I am so excited. So Rory, I've already written my next book and I'm in the stage of, I need to pick a really good title. And of course I thought dun, of you. Dun, dun, dun.
Cause I tell everyone their title sucks.
So I thought of you instantly. Why, for the everybody listening, why would I have thought of you when it comes to branding, naming, all of the things?
Well, when it comes to branding, that might be different, but why you might've thought of me with title is because the most expensive marketing mistake I've ever made in my life was mistitling my second book. So what happened is my first book was called Take the Stairs, hit number one on the Wall Street Journal, number two on the New York Times. We were building our first company. Things were growing and we were cranking. And then when my second book came out, it was like, we had this brilliant plan. We're going to do a TED talk and the TED talk's going to go viral at the same time we launched the book. And if we could do that, right? It was like, oh, Mel Robbins, Brene Brown, Simon Sinek, all these people, like TED talk goes viral with the book. So here's what we did. We did exactly that. We got a TED talk and the TED talk went viral. So it got millions of views. The problem is the book doesn't sell worth the diddly squat. And it's the exact same content.
Yep.
And it is the exact same moment in history from the exact same messenger. The only difference is the title. Mm-hmm. So the title of my second book is called Procrastinate on Purpose. And the 5 permissions to multiply your time is the subtitle. And so we literally figured out how to create more time. And I thought the title Procrastinate on Purpose was so clever because I was like, oh, no one will have ever heard of that. And it's so catchy and different and it's original. And I had all this justification. But when Ted asked for the title of the talk, they said, what is the talk about? And I said, oh, simple. It's the talk is about how to multiply time. So we called the TED talk, How to Multiply Time, and it went viral. We called the book Procrastinate on Purpose, and it doesn't sell diddly squat. And
it's
that
such a
is
a good book too. I've read it.
Oh, you have read it?
Oh yeah. Thank you. So good.
It's a great book. I mean, and the talk is a great talk. It's the same content. And yet one of the biggest problems is that we learned is that clear is greater than clever. Clear is greater than clever. And then, you know, so you mentioned brand builders group. So our team is we are a personal brand strategy firm. So we work exclusively with personal brands, experts and entrepreneurs mostly. Mm-hmm. And some of our clients are very well known. Lewis Howes, Ed Milette, Eric Thomas, Tom and Lisa Bilyeu. I mean, Lovey Ajayi Jones. Like, we have clients with millions and millions of followers. Julie Solomon, of course, who's a mutual mm-hmm. friend, is how I met you. But most of our clients are trying to become more well-known. They're trying to break through the wall, as we call it. They're wanting more reach, not just so they can be famous at all, but so they want to make more impact. They're what we call mission-driven messengers. And we surveyed our audience, and we found that 70% of our audience isn't sure about what makes a good title, just like we weren't. And so one of the things we do is we help people with book launches. In fact, Ed Milette was one of our most recent ones. We helped sell 117,000 copies of his book before the publication date. And he hit number one on the Wall Street Journal and everything. In fact, we did a show together and we talked about it, but like we've analyzed all of these titles and we study all the bestseller lists. So we do cross comparative analysis of the New York Times, the USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, BookScan, Amazon, and we run all these proprietary formulas to track books. And so anyways, we came up with what we call the five title tests to make this practical for our clients. So
okay,
that
let me
is
tell you one thing before we dive into this. So we were sitting down outside your house. Literally, that is his backyard, guys. Like, I was back there. It's beautiful. and we were sitting down back in your backyard and you gave us the five tests. So there was maybe like five of us back there. So I go to the same group of five people and I say, okay, guys, I've got my book title. Here it is. I give it to the same people. And they're all arguing why they disagree on, they had it completely split. So we knew your five tasks and we still couldn't figure it out together. So I'm really excited to do this with you today. So, okay, share the five and then we'll dive in.
Because make sure you let me know if you want me to be nice or if you want me to be honest.
I want you to be brutally honest because I can take it. Sucks.
90% of the time I end up calling somebody's baby ugly and they, you know, like, it's not a good situation. So
I promise I can take it.
Well, and so anyways, so that's how we got into this, or one of the things, you know, and so we have about 600 clients at Brand Builders Group. And so this is what we're doing all day, every day. We don't work with companies. We just work with individuals and we go, how do you become more well-known? How do you drive more leads? And how do you get your message out to more people? So when it comes to selecting a title, part of our formal curriculum is these five title tests. So I'll tell you the first one. And the first one is the most powerful. And when you hear this, you all will be like, no way. It's too simple. It's too easy. There's no way that this can be the secret. I'm telling you, this is the freaking secret. And it is called the I want test. And the way it works is you just write on your page, I want blank. Okay, so if you just like take a piece of paper out, write I want, and then put a blank space.
Like the title, you're putting that in there if it fits.
So if you can take, and then what you want to do is take your title and insert your title at the end of that sentence.
Okay.
I want blank. If your title completes that sentence, it's clear, it's compelling, it's like a hell yeah, that's a great title. I want Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I want to think and grow rich. You don't even have to do anything. You can think and grow rich. I want to go from good to great. I want the happiest baby on the block. I want the life-changing magic of tidying up. Like, so many. Now, there are some counter examples, but almost every counterexample is from someone who was already established.
Okay.
So, you know, we talk about breaking through Sheehan's wall, which is a whole separate lesson. We could talk about that. But when you're not internationally recognized, when you don't already have millions of followers, like right with Ed, you know, Ed gives us a lot of credit and, you know, we were part of a team that led it. But frankly, his reach was so massive, it would have been successful either way. Now, to the extent that it was, you know, maybe not, but you're, you know, the bigger your platform, the more forgiveness there is with this. But if you're, you know, like we were in our 20s trying to hustle and figure out how do you do this, it matters more. So I want blank. And if you go, I want to procrastinate on purpose. Like it does. It's like, what? Well, I don't even know what that means. I want procrastinate on purpose. But if we said, I want to multiply time.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Like it go, yes, that is, that is what I want. So that's the first test.
Okay. Got it.
The second test is the clarity test. Clear is greater than clever. Mm-hmm. Clear is greater than clever, which is the opposite of what most of us think. Most of us think, ooh, catchy, sexy, right? And here's the thing. We go, ooh, 4-hour work week, which is the greatest title we will probably all see in our generation. And we say, oh, that's so clever. But it's not really that it's clever. It's I want blank. Everybody wants a 4-hour work week. It applies to 100% of adults. Mm-hmm. Like it is super clear about the payoff. So the more confusing a title, the more explanation a title requires, the less effective the title is.
Okay.
So on one end of the spectrum, you would have confusing, like I really don't know what that is, which frankly, procrastinate on purpose is pretty well on that end of the spectrum.
So then, it would never be your brand name if it wasn't something somebody was already saying. Like, would it have to be their, would it have to be their vocabulary?
It doesn't necessarily have to be their vocabulary. So that's one of the other, one of the other four tests. Fourth test is called the native tongue test.
Got it.
So sometimes there's a lot of power to using native tongue, which speaks directly to your audience. Like for example, what to expect when you're expecting. That's language that directly speaks to your avatar. In fact, one of the things I've always loved about you is foot traffic. Like the Foot Traffic podcast speaks native tongue to a very specific group of people, which also speaks to your uniqueness, which is a separate conversation. But listen to our first episode that we did together of who you are and what you're equipped to do. And one of the things we say all the time is you're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were.
Okay.
And you're such a great example of that, right? Stacey, like you're one of the few people who has done offline and online, but offline foot traffic. People in the store, like people in the facility, people in the gym, people like foot traffic. So I want foot traffic. And it is also clear and it is also native tongue. So those are three of the five tests right there that your current brand satisfies, which is, you know, one reason it makes me like you is because it helps me remember you it helps me be clear on who Stacey is, which makes you referable. When I go, you know, somebody has this type of a store or this type of a setup, it's like, do you know who Stacey is? Like, you got to go listen to Stacey Tischel, like Foot Traffic podcast, foot traffic, because it's so clear and memorable.
Okay.
Which by the way, so that's another test. The fifth test is the memorability. We skip number three. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
But the fifth test is the memorability test. Half of the battle is just being remembered. Right. So metaphors are dangerous, like major yellow flag with metaphors, but also you will see metaphors work. Who moved my cheese? Take the stairs. So my first book, like it fails each of the four tests, but it is so strong on the memorability test. Like if you have read my Take the Stairs book, or if you have ever seen me speak where I talk about success is not about taking the escalator, it's taking the stairs, you will never ever look at an escalator again and not think of me. It's impossible. It is such a strong, a strong anchor, and it helps the book propagate because people take the stairs in the mall or the airport and their family goes, why are you doing this? You go, oh, it's this book I read. And it, it forces the propagation. Also, yeah. Girl, wash your face, right? That's a metaphor for dust yourself off. Like, yeah. You know, rinse your makeup off and get up and keep going. Eat that frog. Like, but dangerous, you know, like be careful, but they yeah. can work.
Okay.
The third test. So number one is the I want blank test. The number two test is the clarity test. The third test is the positive energy test.
Mm.
Positive energy. So words, colors, and images all have energy. Words, colors, and images all have energy. We're attracted to positive energy and we're repelled by negative energy. Some words have more positive energy than other words. For example, the word procrastinate. Would you say that is a positive or negative energy word?
Probably negative.
It's the most negative energy word other than the word death. Like there is not a worse word. And I fought to have it right across the top in bold embossed. Like I fought to have this, I was like, I want it embossed.
My goodness.
And I don't, you know, so what idiot would title their book Procrastinate on Purpose? But that, so that is negative energy. How about the word multiply, positive or negative?
Positive.
Extremely positive, like extremely positive, right? So there's lots of people who've written books about home organizing. Life-changing magic of tidying up.
Mm-hmm.
You almost see it like, oh, ding. Like it's one of my good friends is a guy named John Gordon, and he's written several books. But his number one best-selling book of all time is The Energy Bus. And the biggest word on the cover is energy. It's like in all caps. And the cover is bright yellow, right? Yeah. And if you think of even Mark Manson's, you know, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F, mm-hmm. the cover is bright orange. And I tell this story sometimes. So we have two toddlers, but my oldest, Jasper, when he was 3 years old, he would come into my office, and I have hundreds of books in my office, like big bookshelf. Out of hundreds of books, every single time, okay, Jasper would go and grab the same book off the shelf out of hundreds, right? So the book is Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. And you say, why is Jasper grabbing the same book? Because it's bright orange.
Mm-hmm.
So the color matters a lot.
Okay.
And then the images, you know, so coming back to 4-Hour Work Week, which just nailed it. When they released the revised edition, the original edition was white with like gold on the bottom. And then when they released the revised edition, it was bright orange. And then do you remember the image of the cover on the cover?
I feel like there's like a palm tree or something in it. Is there not?
It is. There's a guy in a hammock
between
two palm trees. And it says like escape. I think it's escape the 9 to 5 and join, you know, travel the world and join the new rich or something like that. So those are the five tests.
Okay.
That make it up. So,
all right. I'm like nervous to even tell you what
you should be.
Okay. So very quick backstory. The new program that we have been selling all year is called Well-Oiled Operation. So it is basically behind this, you know, what operations does, right? Behind the scenes, hiring, firing, training, all the things.
Love it.
Okay. So my first thought was, should it just be Well-Oiled Operation and stay with the program name? But then I had people say like, but I would never say I want a well-oiled operation. And I was like, why would you not want that? Like, I guess that's where I'm confused. Right. So a couple variations of that. So first I was thinking well-oiled operation, just because it is the brand name. Then my next question is, maybe somebody doesn't just want operations. Would it be well-oiled business? But then people don't know what that means. And then what really people say is, I want my business to run like a well-oiled machine. And I looked, and there is no book called Well-Oiled Machine, which blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my three main options I was thinking about, but I will scrap it completely if you're like, this is procrastinate on purpose too.
Well, okay. So one of our other principles, this goes back to Sheehan's wall. Okay. And you say there's two groups of people in the world. There's the people struggling with obscurity. And then there are the people that are, you know, have notoriety, they're famous, they're well known. Mm-hmm. And in between is this huge invisible wall. And everyone's trying to break through the wall, and they're looking at what everyone else is doing on the other side of the wall. And they're saying, okay, well, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about sports and NFTs and social media and business and personal development. And Tony Robbins talks about money and health and relationships and, you know, business mastery. And, you know, Oprah has all of these different things that she does. And so we all go, oh, we're going to have lots of topics. Then we go, oh, we're going to have lots of profiles on all of these different sites that we're going to manage. And so we have too many topics. We have too many profiles we're trying to keep up with.
Yep.
And then what happens is we have too many business models and we go, masterminds is the key. No, keynote speaking is what I want. No, I want to be an author and write books. Well, actually video courses is totally passive income, but membership sites have recurring revenue. But man, if you do live events, you can make so much money. Like once you get past the first few hundred tickets and we go crazy jumping from thing to thing. Mm-hmm. And when you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. When you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. Why am I sharing this again? Because you're a small business, Stacey. I mean, you're bigger than most businesses in this space, but you're a small business.
Correct.
So if your team and your money is not infinite and you're already putting energy and time and marketing dollars behind well-oiled operations, if you've already settled in on that, mm-hmm. The way you break through the wall is you pick a spot on the wall. And I mean this literally, like if you take a sledgehammer and you hit all over the wall, you don't break through.
Okay.
The way you break through the wall is you pick a spot and you hit the same spot over and over and over and over and over. And you have to make people think when they hear your name, it equates to blank. So if you have already established well-oiled operations mm-hmm. and it's the name of the course and it's the name of the brand, and I see on your website, it says scaling up while scaling back, which I also love.
Oh, okay.
Why would you have to then spend money and graphics and fonts and time coming up with a new title and then having to explain, well, well-oiled business or well-oiled, when I sell well-oiled machine, now I'm explaining what I really mean is a business. Because a book called Well-Oiled Machine, that is true. That's what they want. But you go, but I don't know now, are you a mechanic school?
Right.
And I know that might seem like obvious, but it's not. Like I have a friend that says people on the internet are like wandering monkeys on crack. Like they literally... we're moving so fast and there's so much coming at us. Like when I hear well-oiled operations, I know exactly what you're talking about. And your avatar will too. They're going to go, right. I want a well-oiled machine. They're going to make that connection. So let's just run the test. I want well-oiled operations. Pass it or fail?
I'm going to say yes.
Pass. Definitely. Yeah. Right. So now on that scale of I want, you know, you kind of have, you've got in the clarity test, you've got confusing, you have interesting, you have enticing, and then you have irresistible, right? If you think of a continuum. So well-oiled operations, I would say that's enticing.
Okay.
Four-hour work week, that's irresistible. That's right. But it's also bordering on sensational. I mean, actually, I would say that is flat out sensational. So like, you know, there's a balance to that. If you go, I don't want to be that woman that's like, you know, $1 million in 30 days. Like, you know, so, but you're on that side. So I'd say it's probably a 92 or a 93 in the I want test.
Oh,
so then I go clarity test. Is it clear? Is it clear what this book is about? Well-oiled operations. I go, that's pretty stinking clear.
Okay.
Right? Like,
Plus we have the subtitle to describe it even more.
That's right. And when you have scaling up, which I also want, while scaling back, which I also want, I love it. So I go, is it clear? Definitely. Okay. Now, positive energy, you know, that's some of the design elements will come into that, but scaling up while scaling back, extremely clear, extremely positive, well-oiled, positive. You know, operations is a word that is a little bit more, a little more neutral, right? So I would probably want to, you know, I might go, could I make this brighter and faster? So clarity. And then what do we got? The fourth test is the native tongue test. And I go, are you trying to reach entrepreneurs? Is that who you're trying to reach?
Yep.
every entrepreneur, when you say operations, they're going to well-oiled operations. They're going right. to go, oh, I know exactly what that is. Like,
okay.
I need a number two. I want a COO. I need a VP of operations. I wish somebody could just run stuff without me having to make every decision. Super clear. Now, memorability test is probably where it's a little bit lower.
Yeah. And people will say, like, people that know me will be like, well, yeah, you're well-oiled machine. Like, they'll say machine. Or our clients, because it's a long word, will actually just shorten it to woo. So we even have our logo where it's the W-O-O with like a gear in it, because a lot yeah. of people will call it that. We just didn't want it to get confused with like woo, woo, where people think like it's a right. mindset thing or yeah. something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's long. It's a little mm-hmm. bit long. You also have the hyphen in there, which isn't. But it's another thing, you know, other things we look at is it easily spelled? Like for the most part, it's easily spelled. The yeah. hyphen's the biggest problem, you know, with okay. like a URL. But like rather mm-hmm. than using welloiledoperations.com, it would be like, you know, stacytushelbook.com, or even okay. your last name is a pain, right? So I would say stacybook.com. I would go for stacybook.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Or woo, you could do woobook.com, but you know, so you play with some of those things, but
okay.
I love it. I love it. Clear.
So when you keep bringing up the scaling up while scaling back, is that what you're thinking is like the subtitle, or you're saying yeah. you would do either? Oh, wow. Okay.
Heck yeah. Scaling up while scaling back. Or if it's like, you know, seven speedy ways to scale up while scaling back, done.
Oh, cool. And I because actually have nine things in there that I'm teaching. So I could say that.
Yeah, I mean, the number thing works well because psychologically the brain loves to complete things. So the reason why numbers work so well, even though they're yeah. completely overused, but they will never stop working because the psychological, like the neuroscience of the brain is that it wants to complete, it hates open loops. It wants to complete things. Okay. That's why you finish watching movies, even though they suck, because you need to know how it ends. Like it's hard to not know how it ends. So anytime there's, you know, 69 of something or 54 of 73 or, you know, six or yeah. five, they're all, the brain wants to know what are they. So numbers work really well. You know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, okay. Which by the way, I want 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So I love, you don't have to have the number, but yeah,
So I feel like 9 is a big number. Like, I don't want people to feel like, oh my gosh, I got to do 9 things, but we have 3 phases. So what I almost use like the 3 steps or the 3 phases versus 9.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the three phases.
Feels easier. Okay.
Especially just knowing your avatar, right? If they're an entrepreneur, they're already feeling overwhelmed. So you don't want to have the 17 and a half steps to whatever.
Our biggest objection is like, I don't have time to do all this, but I know I need to.
Yeah. So, yeah. 3 phases.
Okay. So follow up question on this. First of all, I am blown away that this was as easy as it was, especially because I was getting such conflicting advice. So here is my question. And maybe that you answer this with like the hit the one nail. So I am looking at actually taking, you scared me a little bit when you were talking about foot traffic, but because I know it's good. And we called it Foot Traffic Formula, the program, and that sold almost $1 million in a year. Like it blew up because of it.
Of course. Clear.
Very clear. And I see that now as you said all of that. So my question is, we are looking at getting our podcast into the management category versus the marketing category. So our thought was, should we change the podcast to be Well-Oiled Operations, like a foot traffic podcast or something? You know how like Ramsey has like a Ramsey podcast or a HubSpot podcast. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I would just say it would be Well-Oiled Operations by, you know, with Stacy Tushel.
Okay.
Because I think more of the equity is connected to your personal brand.
Right. Okay.
Than it is to like foot traffic. I mean, here's what you're doing. What I see you doing there is foot traffic is more niched and you're kind of like, you're extending a level broader, but you're, you know, fairly mature business in the terms of personal brand and super clear. So,
okay.
I think you just got to ask yourself ultimately, who are you going after? Are you trying to broaden the net a little bit? But here's what I would say. If you're trying to broaden the net a little bit of the types of businesses you want to capture.
Yeah.
I would always encourage you to sort of offset that with a narrowing of focus of the types of business models you provide. So it's not like we have masterminds and courses and membership sites and live events and coaching and consulting. It's like,
okay,
you know, especially when you're trying to break through the wall, you don't need multiple streams of income.
You only need two.
Okay, great. Because you only need one. You only need one really, really high performing, high margin stream of income. Okay. Multiple streams of income is terrible advice. Like the earlier you are in your process, the less good that advice is.
Okay. So if I go all in on this, the podcast becomes well-oiled operation. The number one main product we sell.
Operation.
Well-oiled operation. Operations. Now I can't remember what's my name.
Well, the TM says operations on your site. So you'd want to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well-oiled operations is the program. So my point is, it's like podcast should match. If I have a Facebook group, should I be calling the Facebook? Like, should everything be well-oiled operations?
It depends. I mean, it depends. Like the problem with that is that every time you come out with a new book, now you got to retitle everything.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, it's the difference between what's a company name versus what's a product name.
Got it.
So if your company is still dedicated to reaching people who have brick and mortar businesses, then I would stick with sort of foot traffic as like the name of the company. And then Foot Traffic Formula is sort of like our flagship original course. And then it's like, we got well-oiled operations and then you're going to have, you may have others, right? You may have other things. But it's sort of like Foot Traffic remains the big brand. That's why a lot of times you'll see people, you know, they will default to their name is the main brand, because that's the one thing that never changes.
Yeah.
But it all depends on your long-term goals, because when you look at the valuation of a company and the likely of if you're wanting to sell the company at some point, there's a liability with having your name attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to devalue it.
Okay. So if I'm going to do like a free 5-day challenge, am I going to call this like the, like something with well-oiled operations, or do I get very how your TED talk was like how to multiply time? Am I doing something generic like that?
Either way. No. Well, no, I would say no, I would not call the lead magnet the same thing as the product.
Got it.
Because again, wandering monkeys on crack, we want it to be very clear that the thing they signed up for free is not the thing that we're asking them to purchase.
Okay.
So I would delineate, but all the same rules apply, but you know, it could be the, like, the 5 hours back in your week challenge, or get 5 hours back in your week in the next five days. You know, like, it could be anything related to something that speaks to a pain point related to your core, who is your core target audience.
Okay. Makes sense. I love that. But you wouldn't consider the podcast a lead magnet where I couldn't call the podcast well-oiled operations.
I mean, you could call it well-oiled operations if that's going to be the overarching banner of the whole thing. You know, so it's kind of just like, what's the more overarching brand and the direction you're heading, like, and also think about future books, right? So you go, I'd probably want to choose the one that is going to most likely serve as a house.
Yeah.
A good house for any like future derivatives products that we develop and things like that. So the thing about foot traffic is it's very narrow, which I love, you know, so when you take it out a level broad, you're attracting potentially more people, but you're also not as strongly attracting the person you were. So you just got to make sure that that's what you want, because, you know, there's a lot of power in staying niche down. Like, we only work with personal brands. So if Google calls us, the answer is no, we cannot work with you. We can work with your CMO or your CEO or like a person, but the more clear you are about what you do and clear about what you are not, the more visceral the attraction is to you, the more naturally you stand out. Well-oiled operations applies pretty much, could applies to anyone who's an entrepreneur. And this is sort
and
of
we
the
have
balance.
Quite a few variety of, I mean, we have like brick and mortars, online entrepreneurs, we have a nonprofit in there, like we have a soap maker. I mean, we have, it's just they want help on the same skills, hiring, firing, building their team, managing, putting systems in place.
And if that's who has shown up, and that is who you feel called to serve. So you remember your uniqueness. Again, this is sort of our last conversation, but your uniqueness lives at the intersection both of who you have been
yep.
and who you feel called to be.
Yeah.
So we can't tell you the answer without knowing what those are, which is why it usually takes a little bit of time for us to work with somebody is to go like, what is the actual vision here? But if you go, these people are asking, what we get asked most often about are things that are universal and they apply to everybody. Then you go, great. Then I would drop the foot traffic. I would, because that's going to repel
somebody's like confused
sells
right now.
Soap online.
Yeah, they're like, you help people that are online. I feel like foot traffic is a brick and mortar word. So we are confusing people. Yeah, definitely. First of all, foot traffic, phenomenal. Like, we are so happy with the money that it brought in. Like, it was insane. What we didn't like at the end of it was we were attracting newbie entrepreneurs who, it was like teaching them how to get started, not even teaching. We were still not even attracting just brick and mortars with foot traffic. So what we decided with this new pivot was we wanted to talk to the established business owner who would actually be excited about operations versus if they only want marketing, it's because they're not doing well. So we've up-leveled our clientele over the last 6 months. I mean, the amount of million-dollar business owners coming to us right now is insane. We never had that. We just didn't have a lot of that with foot traffic formula.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Right. So you're not attracting them. Yeah. Like, you're not attracting the people either who you want. And also, you're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were, right? You're a seven-figure business owner. And the last few years, like the last several years, you've lived more in that world than you have been a newbie, right? Like, it's been a while since you've been a newbie. So you're
correct.
Some of that's a very natural transition. That all sounds good. But yeah, to me, that says, okay, foot traffic is falling off here a little bit, and maybe you sunset it. Like, things get sunsetted.
So we merged that program. Anybody that was in foot traffic formula, they are now inside of well-oiled operations, and foot traffic formula is a portion of like our marketing machine system that they get. So we don't sell foot traffic formula individually anymore. Great. We're not promoting it. It's not outside. And what I've leaned into is, like, I have a business that it's 20 years old in August, that I have not worked in the day-to-day operations in 10 years. So that's what I'm heavily leaning into, of like, how did I get this business to run without me, but still produces a paycheck every 2 weeks and will for the rest of my life.
Yep. Love it. So you've done that. You're helping people across that chasm now.
Yeah.
That's what gives you the credibility.
So I got to get this off my wall, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It's now foot traffic is now a product, it's a class, it's a one topic, but it's no longer
our formulas.
One of your formulas. Yep. Okay. Uh-huh. So, well-oiled operations podcast, that's great. Well-oiled business. That's probably a level even more broad, because now you're talking about marketing and sales. Customer service
and the only way we're talking about that stuff is if we're talking about the systems behind it. So I will talk marketing, but it's marketing systems versus let's talk Instagram ads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think well-oiled operations really, really fits. And you have the well-oiled operations podcast. Again, the word operations is long. So that's kind of you just got to deal with that, right? Like, you got to navigate around it, but I mean, you could have the well-oiled business podcast. Like, it's not like it would be a fatal kiss of death. It's just going again. Like, one of my mentors is a guy named Scott McCain, and he says mind share precedes market share. And so basically you got to think of it as like, our brain is a bunch of little boxes. You're trying to occupy a very small sliver of people's brains. The clearer you are about what you do and the more consistent you are, the more likely they are to remember you. So that consistency across really, really does help a lot. And I think foot traffic is something that helped you get to where you are, and it's dropping off. I mean, we think about this like launching a rocket into outer space, right? And it's like, you have these boosters, like, to get your business off the ground, it takes all of these things. But then as time goes on and you mature, you should become more dialed in on what you're doing. And some of those things fall away and you just zero in. And, because if you have a diluted focus, you get diluted results. So you zero in on exactly who you are and who you want to be.
Okay. I love this. when it comes, like, for one of the reasons I wanted to switch out of foot traffic and marketing into the into management, it makes more sense. But it's also a strategy play. When we look at the management category, it's mostly men. When you look at it, there are not a lot of females. Whereas marketing, there's a lot of females in that category. Yeah. So I'm hoping that also kind of separates us as well. Is there a strategy when you're looking at picking the book categories? Is that strategy? Is it strictly what it really is? Like, how do you decide that?
Well, when you start that the answer is yes, it matters tremendously, specifically when it comes to bestseller lists and under, like, you know, launching a best-selling book is really a lot more, there's a lot more to it than people realize. Like, there is how the book is created and categorized, which is a whole thing in and of itself. For example, one of the things that our team recently discovered is that more than 76% of all books on the New York Times are only from one of five publishers once you roll up all the imprints.
Wow.
So when someone comes to us and says, I want to hit the New York Times, one of the first things we are looking at is who's the publisher. Cause it's like, you know, it's a game of odds.
That's
like, it's
interesting. It's, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're doing this stuff all, we've helped 9 clients hit New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and or USA Today, like in the last few years. So if you count ourselves too as one of those. So so how you categorize the book matters tremendously. Then you have to figure out how to sell the book, which is the hardest part, which nobody knows how to do. everyone thinks it's social media and PR, which is by far the most minuscule piece of effectiveness when it comes to actually selling quantities of a book. Then the third part is understanding how bestseller lists actually work, because the sales have to happen in a certain way to actually, you know, account. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you don't understand all of those, it's a lot, but you know, you have to just sell a sheer quantity to even be in the game in the first place.
And to me, I'm not even kind of even thinking about that because I don't have the following. I see who's hitting those types of lists. And for me, what I want this book to be is just a great lead gen where if I'm out and about somewhere or at a conference, if somebody's like, oh my goodness, I need what you have, to be able to gift that book or to do, if I go to speak, to have that they bought, like do a book buy, right? Like a bulk book order. I'm looking at it more as a lead gen. I'm not looking at it as like trying to hit a bestseller list.
Okay. So that's totally fine. But I would disagree with you that you don't have the platform to pull this off, Stacey. So for example, the one list I think is very doable for you to hit would be the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. So the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, specifically the Wall Street Journal business bestseller list is on average, it only takes about 3,500 units sold in 1 week to hit number 10 on that list.
Okay.
So now there's a setup of things that need to happen to make sure your book indexes under those categories, but it's not complicated. You just have to know what to do and you just have to know somebody who knows. But you go 3,500 units. If you sell 3,500 units, and then you have them, you know, report, you know, they all sell through certain retail stores in certain ways.
Yeah.
Like if you book scan 3,500 units, like the Wall Street Journal is a very empirical bestseller list. It runs very tightly to BookScan. So 80.0% of the time, it mimics BookScan. So if those books are sold through a proper distribution of retail outlets and you sell that number of units in that given week, then you will hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. The New York Times is completely different. Yeah. It is 100% editorial, 100%. So for example, Ed Milet sold 39,000 units on his opening week. In 1 week, 39,000 units, which was 2 times as much as James Clear, who sold like 19,000 units in the same week. James Clear, though, was number one on the New York Times. Ed didn't even get a spot on the New York Times. So
it's crazy.
The New York Times is a completely editorial list. It doesn't even connect. Dr. Sanjay Gupta had a week where he hit number 10 on the New York Times this year with like less than 1,000 units sold in a week. Meanwhile, you have people selling 40,000 units and not hitting it. So there's a whole number of factors. And that's the whole part of this where people are like, man, why even bother? But I think you should bother, because you definitely have the kind of platform to move 3,500 units in the week. And the likelihood, if with a little bit of orchestration and a little bit of coordination, you likely could become a Wall Street Journal bestselling author, which is significantly valuable in the industry. Now, one of the things that we did last year is we led a national research study. It was a PhD-led research firm. My wife, who's our CEO, she actually led it. She partnered with this research firm, and it's statistically weighted to the U.S. Census. One of the things that we proved is that the average American cannot delineate between a New York Times bestselling author, a Wall Street Journal bestselling author, an Amazon bestselling author, or a self-published author. Right. They don't care. Those things do not add to the credibility of the public. Now, they matter in the industry, whose podcast you get on, which stages you get invited to speak on, which media appearances, but your consumer doesn't know much difference. Like they can't tell. The number one factor that consumers care about, this is data driven. 61% of Americans said the single most important influencing criteria in their financial decision-making process when buying from a personal brand is testimonials on their website.
Wow.
It's any of us, something that any of us can do in like a couple hours in an afternoon versus spending 5 years of your life trying to plan to become a New York Times bestseller. Right. Like, it's fascinating. So we're super like data driven in that way, but, you totally could become a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And with that, Amazon and USA would happen as byproducts. Yeah. But Wall Street Journal is also becoming more reputable. The more crazy the New York Times becomes, I feel like the more reputable the Wall Street Journal becomes by default.
I agree. Yeah, I agree for sure. Okay. Powerhouses, if there's anything in the Q&A, throw it in for me. Rory, I would love for you to share with people listening, if they're going, oh my goodness, I need to be working with Rory and his team, where can they find more details? There's anything you want to share, I would love for you to let them know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So we are a human experience. We do human coaching. We work with people one-on-one. And if you go to freebrandcall.com/Tushel, okay, so TUSCHL, freebrandcall.com/Tushel, even the first time we meet you, we want to do it on a phone call. So we got a team of people. They'll just want to understand your vision, like what your business is. Now we work exclusively with personal brands. We do not work with companies. It's not that our stuff doesn't apply to companies, but it's like we help mission-driven messengers. So, but we work with lots of CEOs and entrepreneurs. If that person wants to get more reach, become more well-known, and just get the word out about who they are and what they do and drive traffic to their business, just like we do, right? Like we use our personal brands to drive awareness to brand builders groups. So anyway, so if you go to freebrandcall.com/Tushel, I would just start there and check that out. You can, you know, fill out a little thing. And also there's a way there to get other free resources and stuff like that.
Amazing. I greatly trust Rory's opinion. I hope if you're listening, you can see how much I trust him when I'm clearly asking for such important feedback. So Rory, thanks for being here. I want to ask you one last question from one of our powerhouses. So Natalie said, you said you are most powerfully positioned to help the person you once were. So Natalie helps people that are caregivers for dementia. She worked as the expert healthcare provider, moving out of the hospital. Now she's in her online space. So she's saying she never was the person. She never was a caregiver or anything like that. But I assume because of her expertise, I mean, she has 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, 70,000 on Instagram. She's got engagement. People love her. I assume that that's another angle of if you're the expert, like, does that make sense?
Well, she's saying if helping a group of people that weren't yourself. So I was a healthcare provider moving out of the hospital into the online space, but I wasn't necessarily in the position of the patient. Yeah. Yeah. And look, something that is a truth that's always true, but you have to have been connected to it, right? Like if you were, if you were a stay-at-home mom you probably wouldn't start a brand around how to grow a multi eight figure business. And if you have been someone who's been a multi eight figure business, you might not start a program on how to homeschool your children. Like, so the, it's just saying, like, you know, there's two parts of credibility. One is, what do you research? Like, what do you actually study, which could or could not be tied to your formal education, but like, what do you spend time studying? The other one is, what do you have results in? What have you actually done? What do you know how to do? Because like, your uniqueness is directly connected to helping people solve problems. So you go, what problem have you moved past? What challenge have you conquered? What obstacle have you overcome? What setback have you survived? Whatever that path is that you have walked down, it puts you in position to reach back to somebody and go, let me show you the way, right? Like, I can show you the way through here. And that is what's super powerful. And also the idea that there is somebody out there right now who is begging and pleading and possibly on their hands and knees praying for answers to problems that they're facing that you've already solved. And your personal brand is not about you. Your personal brand is about them. It's about taking what you do and putting it out for the benefit of others. And that is where, you know, uniqueness and strategy collide. And it's, you know, that's where the magic comes from.
Amazing. Okay. That helped her. All right, Rory, before we wrap up one more time, what was the link where they should go check out if they want to get more details on you?
Oh yeah. So freebrandcall.com/Tushel. So just that way we know where you're coming from. Perfect. And you know, that's anybody who wants to do that. Like, we'll set up a call. So come, Amazing. Come say hi.
All right, cool. Rory, thank you so much. I appreciate you so, so much. I can't wait to go back and start working on all of this. I've been literally waiting for this call to happen. So thank you for your time.
I'm so proud of you, buddy. You are on the right track. Like, you are doing a great job. Like, you do such a good job. So I'm so proud of you. So thank let me you. Know when your book comes out.
I will.
Me a text and like, okay. we should at least go back and forth on that a bit.
Amazing. All right. Thanks, Rory.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Well-Oiled Operations podcast, then I know you would love our Well-Oiled Mastery program. It's a 6-month program for you and your team to help you get the business running like a well-oiled operation. We pull back the curtain and share all of our systems when it comes to marketing, fulfillment, and operations. We guarantee to increase your profit margins while reducing your time by 25% or your money back. Head over to welloiledoperations.com and get your business running like a well-oiled operation today.